This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. You know that one friend who always finds the best travel deals, picks the right cards, and somehow ends up in first class for the price of coach? I know that guy. Sometimes I've even been that guy. Smart Travel is like that friend, but in podcast form. They cover all things travel finance, like which travel cards earn their keep and which are just heavy, shiny metal. The quick math for knowing when to pay with points or just swipe your card. Which airport lounges are worth it and which are basically free Wi-Fi and chairs. Look, these people know the drill. They got the inside scoop. Money's too tight to travel dumb. We want to travel smart. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. You know that one friend who always finds the best travel deals, picks the right cards, and somehow ends up in first class for the price of coach? I know that guy. Sometimes I've even been that guy. Well, Smart Travel is like that friend, but in podcast form. They cover all things travel finance, like the quick math for knowing when to pay with points or just swipe your card. How to book busy season trips without the busy season sticker shock. Which flight deals are actually deals and which are just clickbait. Hey, times are tight these days and we don't want to travel dumb. We want to travel smart. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast. The winners are the people with the most stories.
One of the great things about traveling is the people that you meet.
I've slept in bus stations, I've slept on people's floors.
And it's already on fire, and then there's just a gigantic, huge explosion, like out of a Hollywood movie.
It's not right or wrong, it's just different.
We hired like 10 Chinese prostitutes to come be our audience.
We were kidnapped by nuns in Puerto Rico.
Not a good idea to be high when you're packing. You forget a lot of stuff.
I got swine flu.
By the time you've lived through it, it's just a good story.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Siegel. Thanks for listening. My guest today is Joe Maragliata. Before we get to Joe, here's a few announcements. Our website, traveltalespodcast.com. Go there. You'll see photos of our guests. You'll see links to their social media and sites. You'll see links to our social media. That is, of course, Travel Tales Podcast on Instagram. That's the big one. Follow us there. We're also on Facebook. You can follow us there. And speaking of following, if you listen to us on one of those streaming services, which most of you do, please subscribe and give us a good rating there. Give us multiple stars. Maybe even say a few nice things. That's a cool thing for you to do, because if you do that, that boosts our presence on those platforms and helps more people find us. So if you could do that, I'd appreciate it. If you think you'd be right for the show, maybe you know somebody right for the show, or maybe you want to ask me some travel questions or tell me I'm great, you can write me at traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. That's traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. Joe Maragliata was on this show way back in 2015, July of 2015, almost 11 years ago, and I couldn't remember during the interview because I hadn't looked it up beforehand how long it was. I knew it was around 10 years, and I was right. It's 10 and change. We met on a media tour of the Rocky Mountaineer train way back then. He was one of the many media that were on that trip, and at the time, he was living in L.A. with his, I think then girlfriend, but now wife, and he had a blog, a lifestyle blog called Joe's Daily, which he still has today. It was a lifestyle blog of not only travel, but fashion, tech, products, food and beverage, all sorts of stuff, and he continues to do the Joe's Daily blog, but a lot has changed as well. First and foremost, he's moved to downstate Illinois. During COVID, he and his wife moved there. He is traveling more than ever, especially on cruises. And he's got a new podcast out that he's going to talk about. And on top of all that, he's investing in a bar near where he lives. So he's got a lot of irons in the fire. Back in the day, I called him an influencer. He doesn't really go by that anymore, but he did get in early on this whole influencing thing. And he's still very successful at it and makes his living at it. And he's been a lot of places, and it was great to catch up. So it's a new year and a new decade. Time to catch up with Joe Maragliata of Joe's Daily. Enjoy. Okay, first and foremost, I'm going to get the pronunciation right. Joe Maragliata.
Nailed it.
Boom! Look at that. All right, and you're downstate Illinois, my home state. Is it, where are you? You're what?
Outside of St. Louis. So yeah. I specifically say that to everyone because when I say Illinois, they're like, oh, yeah, Chicago. And I'm like, no, no, no. That's no, miles yeah. away. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a big state. You know, I had to remind people. You know, I grew up there.
Yeah.
But if you go to the, you know, I went to Northern Illinois mm-hmm. University and I mm-hmm. had friends that went to SIU down in Carbondale in Southern Illinois. And, yeah. you know, we would call each other at, and it was probably sometimes made like a 30 degree difference in weather.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's the southern, you know, Illinois is a big state and the South is like the South. I mean, they got accents and stuff down there. But I mean, I do remember the landscape was much better. It was like there's actual hills, you know, and forests and things, you know, instead of just cornfields.
Yeah.
So did you go back? I know you were living in L.A. a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Did you go back? Was this a COVID move? Was this your wife's family or your family?
It's funny. You nailed it, actually, kind of all of the above. So basically, I miss L.A., especially today. It's freezing today. but yeah, so during COVID, funny enough, the real estate market, at least in Encino, was fantastic. And we sold our condo. But it was also because we were trying to, you know, we didn't know how long COVID was going to last. You know, as someone who's a travel content creator, I was like, listen, I'm lucky I get to own my own business and do everything from the computer. But I mean, we're not traveling much, right? So we sold our condo, thankfully, you know, made a little profit. And then she's from this area. She's from actually Bethalto area. So by the way, I'm familiar with that last school you mentioned because it's actually in our town where I live. SIUE. But
Edwardsville, sure.
Yeah, Edwardsville, yeah. But anyways, so yeah, it was during COVID and we're over here now, but now that kind of travel's picking up, you know, it hasn't been an issue. And like I said, I get to do stuff like this, do podcasts, work for my computer. It doesn't really matter where I'm at. So
when you're flying out, do you fly out of St. Louis?
I do. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How far is that from your house? That's a little bit of a drive.
It's not too bad. It's usually it's a morning flight, right? So typically like 30 minutes, 35 minutes.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
But we're actually most likely going to be moving in Alton soon, which is technically closer to St. Louis because that's where the bar I bought is in Alton. So.
Oh, we haven't even gotten to that yet.
Oh, wait, no, you know.
You're going to be a tavern owner, a barkeep. Oh, wow. A pub landlord, as they say in the UK. Yeah. So what is this also a family business or did you just decide to dive into this very competitive industry?
You know, it was funny. One day I was on a cruise ship reviewing a cruise and my good friend Barry called, who's a business partner now of mine. And he said, hey, you want to buy Bubby and Sissy's in Alton? I was like, I sure do. So that's kind of how it kicked off, you know. And it's more of an investment and a passion project than anything else because we didn't want this bar to fall under because it is a very unique bar. But so you could say it's kind of a family business. And I'll just leave you with this because I won't bore you with all that. But basically, one of our co-owners, their name is Mikey. Michaela, but her cousin was the owner of the original bar. So kind of kept in the family, but she's like a friend family member of mine. So yeah, we kind of kept it in the family in that sense because we wanted to make sure it didn't go under and some big wig in St. Louis bought it and just, you know, put in main apartments or something. So we just wanted to keep it going. And yeah, it's a very community driven bar.
Bubby and Sissy's. I love the name of it already. And I'm just thinking of every tavern outside of Chicago. I'm trying to picture like a brick building.
Yep.
You know, with the neon signs, maybe an old style sign. Well, the Chicago area would be an old style sign. But you're in like Bush, you're in Budweiser country down there.
It sure is. Yeah. But no, you're right about the brick building and we've got some neon signs going up. So yeah.
table or no pool table?
Pool table.
Okay. Careful. Those cause fights.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have live entertainment?
We do. We have, well, we're known to be also a drag performance bar. So we have drag brunches. We have drag shows every Saturday. Used to be every Friday, Saturday, but we're changing some things up. But we do have live performances. We have a fantastic live music. We actually just had our St. Paddy's Day celebration. I know it's a day early or 2 days early, but we had it on Saturday at the whole Alton town. It was like a bar crawl. We had amazing Irish music from one of our performers, our regular performers. And yeah, no, it's a fantastic bar. So if you're in the area, you're coming out. I'm going to take care of you.
Oh, thank you. No, that sounds awesome. So we'll back it up. So the first time you did the show, we had met, at the Rocky Mountaineer anniversary trip, which is, I want to say, I didn't look it up. I was lazy about it, but I want to say it was like 2015, 14, 16, something like that.
I can, in full confidence, say it was around that time because that was the most chaotic few years of my life travel-wise. It was awesome. But I remember meeting you, and that was such a fantastic... God, that was such
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. We went from Vancouver to Banff and we stayed at the big hotel.
Yep.
That bit was the Fairmont. there, yes, that big castle in Banff. Yep. And, oh
I
my
think
God,
they call it the Fairmont Castle, or I think it's like one of the nicknames. Yeah, it's fantastic.
It is impressive. It is impressive. Yeah. But I remember you being, it was, I guess, would you say your blog is more of it's a lifestyle blog now that had travel was a part of it. Is that still the case, or have you leaned into travel more?
So I would say, yeah, when we first met, because being self-employed and my own brand, I've adjusted over the years. It definitely was a lifestyle, more of a men's lifestyle and then travel component. I would say I definitely lean heavier on the travel now, mostly because as I've gotten older, I'm just like, what am I most interested in? I'm still into gadgets and tech, and I'm always going to feature that stuff, cars and booze and food. But a lot of times travel kind of takes care of all that, you know, and maybe I'm in a cool hotel with a really cool restaurant, then I can cover both those things right off the bat. So yeah, I would say when we first met, it was a little bit more diverse, and now I've kind of a little more hyper-focused. Still got those categories, but a little more focused, yeah.
Yeah, I remember you were always getting the latest iPhone that would get sent to you first, and the watches.
Yeah. Yep.
The big on why do I think of watches when I think of it? Do you still get a lot of watches?
I don't get the ones I really, really want. Okay. Because I have a little bit of a Rolex habit. I'm a collector and an investor. But no, I do actually. I do still get really cool watches. And, you know, not to downplay the watches I get, they're fantastic. But I get a lot of cool technology and watches to review, which I'm very fortunate for. It's part of my life that I've been very lucky to have, you know, like, for example, like wireless mics I use for travel and, you know, stuff like that. And which really helps someone like me or even yourself when we're on the road doing stuff. It's like sometimes you just want the really good audio and you don't get that just from the phone or even how good the technology's got. So, yeah.
So I was wondering why you, in terms of like, you know, you're younger than me and, you know, I do a lot of cruises performing on them now, but I've done a lot of cruises where I'm the younger guy on it, which is frightening. So you got to look like a baby to a lot of these cruisers. Depending on the line, of course.
Yeah.
So why, you know, as someone who, you know, a lifestyle that skews younger.
Yeah.
Why did you move toward cruises, which tend to skew older?
That is probably the first time I've gotten that question. And that is a really good question. So first off, I never thought I was going to be talking about that, but I've always been very, I like to think I'm young at heart, but when I think of my style of travel, I'm old at heart. To give you an example, I love river cruises. And if any of you watching this, listening, know anything about river cruises, you probably know about your grandparents going on them. And to be honest with you, yeah, it's an older crowd, but the slowness and the food, I'm a big foodie. So it's like the quality you're getting is kind of second to none. And that's what I love about cruising in general. So it doesn't have to be a river cruise. I'm just saying specifically to answer your question. I've always been kind of older at heart when it comes to travel. I actually have a river cruise coming up in June, and I'm so excited for it because I kind of missed it. It's been a while since I've been on one, and I love getting to know the people on board. And even though they are not close to my age, we end up becoming friendly, you know, sitting together at dinner, having a great coffee together in the morning. You know, it's really cool. And I think that's where I've leaned on my cruising. Yeah.
Yeah. I never wanted to do cruises. You know, I never wanted to go on them. Yeah. They were not my preferred form of travel, but if I was going to do one electively, you know, on my own, a river one would be just for the fact, and I tell people this, that they let you off right in the city. Yeah. You know, you get up. It's not like, you know, on a lot of these cruises, we have to pull into a shipping port 20 miles outside of town, and you got to bus in, and you're surrounded by these giant shipping crates, and it's like, not fun.
No,
sitting next to an oil tanker, and whereas these little river cruises, they're small enough, they can pull up. You're right in the middle of Brussels or whatever it is, and you just get out, and that's kind of cool. And I guess the slowness of it, but I never worked one of those because they're so small, they don't usually use comedians. They usually, you know, maybe a jazz trio or something.
Yeah, they would need you to be multi-use. You'd have to like maybe do a history lesson on one day and then comedy on the next. But
where's your next one going?
So it's actually it's a German. I can't speak too much on it. I can't spay the brand just because of an NDA for now, but that's going to change very soon. Mm-hmm. But basically I'm going through, I want to say it's Frankfurt to Frankfurt. And it's primarily a wine excursion. Ooh. So I do a lot about wine. I'm not a sommelier, but I love wine and I love spirits. And this is actually heavily focused on the wine region of Germany, which I'm excited for because I've had some really good experiences in the past with that. So, and I get to bring my buddy along who I'm specifically bringing him because he's never been to Europe. He likes wine. So it'd be fun to get his opinion. You know what I mean? Kind of from a content, so you'd be able to see his reactions to things, not only a new world he's never seen before out of the US, but also trying the wines firsthand in the vineyards, you know?
Oh yeah. That's going to be great. So, but it's not going to get down into France or anything like that.
No, no. And I love those rivers. I've done all those rivers, in Europe. So I love that, but no, this is specifically just a German, excursion or itinerary.
Oh, that'll be great. I was in Scotland last year. I was doing a ship that I had to meet in Inverness.
Oh, wow.
And, I had like a 4 days off that I, you know, rented a car and drove the Isle of Skye and all that mm-hmm, stuff. Mm-hmm. And people would ask me, did you do a Scotch whiskey tour? And I'm just like, you know, I like bourbon. I'm getting into a little more, but yeah. Scotch is lost. It's just too harsh
yeah.
for me. So I've gotten a good bottle of Scotch as a gift before. And I said, you know, I appreciate it, but it's wasted on me. You could, give it to someone who knows the difference. So do you stick mostly to wine or you do all? You do no. the Bourbon Trail in like Louisville? So you're right by it now.
It's funny you say that. I do have a plan this year to do that. So I have not, but I've been fortunate in my career. I've done tours of Dickel, Jack Daniels. I got to see his burial site. I got to see his office. I got to see do like all the torch burning or the barrel burning, which is part of the charcoaling. I've done all that and I love it. And I love bourbon. I actually like Scotch, but definitely I'm a bourbon guy more than Scotch. But no, I like all spirits. If you gave me a martini of any type, I'd be happy. I enjoy the craft of it. And also, you know, being a bar owner, seeing how that's developed from behind the scenes too. So,
yeah, you're in, you're pushing the border there, Kentucky there. So you're definitely in bourbon country down there.
And I'm planning on doing that tour soon for sure.
And moonshine, but we won't talk about that.
No, I'll try anything once. But
you know, there's probably a history tour down there of like moonshine tour or something.
Oh yeah.
But so, I always ask this about people who do you review it or cover it? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, we know reading your blog or seeing your posts.
Yeah.
We know that you're paid to be there or you at least comped usually to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, what's funny is I'll just get this out of the way. Remember earlier when I referred to back 2014 to 2016 being like the crazy travel, that was the comps. That was everything was comped. I mean, yeah, I was very transparent, of course. And, you know, sharing that, you know, this is comped by whatever. That was the heyday for me where I was traveling nonstop. I could tell you stories forever about that. But now,
that's what we're here for. It's literally the show.
No, yeah, yeah. No, actually, well, maybe I'll round back because there are some interesting stories telling. But no, I'll tell you this. So yeah, I mean, to answer your question, do I review? Yeah, I do a little bit of both. For example, on the river cruise, yes, the one coming up in June, you know, I'll be comped, of course. But, you know, going into it from a professional standpoint, I'm the executive producer of Cruise News, but me and my managing editor and co-founder, you know, we basically are transparent with this brand. We're like, listen, you know, we know you're offering us a great experience, you know, and we're grateful for that. But we're not going to fluff. This is not a fluff piece. We're not being paid. Yes, outside of comped travel, we are not being paid to fluff up your brand. So show us your best, do what you got to do as a company, you know, and we're going to do some amazing coverage, whether it's photos, videos, our later podcasts, my articles. So I'm going to do like review part, but I'm definitely going to do an overarching editorial on what I experienced. So, yeah.
And cruises are tough because they're so consolidated. Like Carnival Corporation alone owns Carnival, Holland America. They own Princess. They own Seabourn. They own
so many,
Cunard. I mean, it's a lot. So you could like maybe, you know, have a bad experience on one and they go, hey, you know,
right.
You know, forget that later, you know, nice cruise we wanted to send you on. So you have to think about all that. And it sucks. You do have to think about it. But I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah.
My rule is always I didn't want to like if there was something negative, I just didn't mention it.
Oh yeah, no, and
you know,
it's funny.
I'm not out to rip anything. You know,
absolutely.
What I mean?
What I typically do is if this is what I usually do for PR people, just to be transparent. If I have a bad experience, and you know, I actually had a pretty bad one recently, I just shared it with the PR people and said, "Listen, there is more negative than positive to talk about. I'm really upset because I was excited about the content, but we've had some really bad roadblocks during this trip. You know," and they came back and they were like, unacceptable. We're going to send you on another one. And by the way, I paid my way. So this wasn't like I was trying to get a freebie or I was getting multiple freebies. I genuinely paid my way, actually. I was a friend's trip, but I work every trip I go on just because I love my job. And they came back and they're like, listen, we're going to host you again. You know our brand. We've seen your content about us before. We know you like us. Give us another shot. And I truly wanted to do that. And they were really respectful about it. I think transparency goes a long way with a lot of these brands. I've never really had too much pushback being like, you should have been writing about this and that. You know, they typically are pretty good. I mean, there's always going to be hiccups. But, yeah.
Well, I'm not going to make you name names, but in terms of bad experiences, what was there something that really, like in that case, I mean, what really went bad? What turned you off? Was it a health thing? Was it service?
It was
itinerary. It was, I mean, it could be anything.
That's a great question. Just a couple outliers. Let's just say one of their cocktail bars, and you know, you have worked on cruise ships, you probably could name a few. There's always like a specialty cocktail bar. It doesn't matter if it's Carnival, Virgin Voyages, Celebrity Cruises. They always have like a specialty bar, and they do that on purpose because they know that people like craft, they can upsell, but also they make good cocktails. And as someone who reviews that stuff for a living and actually enjoys a good cocktail or just a good wine, long story short, this is just one example, by the way. This wasn't the reason the whole trip was bad. But they basically had a bartender who was telling me how a drink is supposed to be made, and it was not true. In fact, later on, I politely asked his partner when he went on a break, and he was like flabbergasted that this guy was trying to convince me this is how you make a drink. And by the way, it was the most common cocktail you can make, one of the many.
Gin and tonic.
It was a martini. It was the most basic martini.
He was putting way too much vermouth in it. I hate when they do that.
They pretty much put sweet vermouth in a dirty martini.
Sweet.
Yeah, let's just say that. It wasn't a Manhattan, it was a dirty martini. And like I said, this was just one little thing.
Yee.
But this was one example. This is actually how the trip kickstarted. And I was like, wow, that was interesting. And then a couple other things just kept snowballing. And it was service. It was service related, which is why this specific brand was like devastated because they're known for their service. So yeah, so it's stuff like that. It sounds silly, but you know, I look at it this way. And Mike, I think you can agree with this. We're lucky where, you know, you work on a ship, I get sent on a ship to review whether I'm paid or not, meaning paid my way. I always put my feet in the shoes of a customer. If I just spent $2,500, $3,500 on a cruise for a vacation that I needed, desperately needed, I would be really upset if these things happened. And that's how I always look at it. And I look at it in that, no one's perfect. There's never going to be a cruise line or a person that works on a cruise that's perfect, or even a hotel. But if I'm paying a lot for my vacation, it's going to upset me and it's not going to make me want to come back. And that's how I look at it as a reviewer. And I take that into account. Does that make sense? I mean, I think that's fair. Yeah.
Well, it was weird coming out of nightclubs and things like that, where if a bar owner wants to, you know, the club owner wants to change this format or whatever, you can do it the next day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You forget that these cruise lines are huge corporations. So every decision has to go up, you know, 15 different levels. It takes months, sometimes years before they change direction.
Yep.
But I do notice that they all are desperately wanting to be cool.
Oh, yeah.
And cruising on its surface, it's not cool. It's never been cool.
Yeah.
It can be luxurious. It could be, but you can't be cool and try to please everybody of all ages at the same time. It just doesn't work. So every decision I see made, that we want to get younger people. That's the other thing, because, you know, the boomers are older.
Yep.
And they're going to be traveling less, and there's going to be less of them. So they're desperately trying to get, like, TV networks or anybody, they're trying to get young people.
Absolutely.
To get involved, and they're trying to make it cool. But yet, if they make it too many changes, they piss off their regulars.
Yeah.
So it's like you got to pick a way, because you can't do both.
No.
And Virgin is trying its own brand. And I've never been on the Virgin cruises. Mm-hmm. And you have? I mean,
five times, yeah.
Okay. So what's the vibe there? I mean, and what are the age groups there? And how is it different?
I'll say this. I would say Virgin, if I was to play somewhat favorites, because, you know, people ask me, what's your favorite line? I'm like, well, that's a tough one. But I'll tell you what I'm currently liking. I like Virgin a lot because the age group, as you already know, I don't mind an older group. I do river cruises all the time. But the age group is, I would say, anywhere between, on average, probably 22 to 60. And that's a huge range. There's no kids. It's no kids allowed. But what I like about it is there's no nickel and diming. And that is a big, big thing. Now, could that change tomorrow after this podcast is launched? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But what they're trying to do, what Richard Branson and his team is trying to do, is make like a boutique style cruise line. Right now, there's only one class of ship. So far, if you've been on any of them, you've been on all of them, technically with some minor changes. And there's no paid, for example, I said no nickel and diming. There's no paid, specialty dining. It's included. You just got to make sure you book it, which is a huge plus because a lot of people go on a cruise. They think they've spent their money. Next time they're like, wait a minute, I got to pay for the steakhouse. I got to pay for the sushi.
Yeah.
This is included. The only thing you is not included is your bar tab, and you pay for that as you go. So, yeah, and outside of that, the styling, you know, for example, you working on cruise ships, you notice, like I have tattoos, right? So if I worked on a ship, most ships, you'd have to cover your tattoos.
Yeah.
Virgin, nope, nose piercings, tattoos. they want you to be yourself, which I think is when I talk to staff, they genuinely, a lot of them come from Holland or Carnival Royal, and a lot of them are like, this is awesome. I love that I can express myself. They can be friendly, even a little flirty, not in a disrespectful or inappropriate way, but they can have a good time with the guests. Right. And honestly, you could see it in their actions. They seem pretty happy. I'm not saying that that's reflecting poor on any other cruise line. I'm just saying that's what I've noticed. I've been on five of them now, different ships. And yeah, it seems like they're pretty good.
I got to be honest with you, the nickel and diming is the thing, one of the things that really pissed me off. You know, when I do a higher end one where it's all, it's all inclusive.
Yep.
Of course, they don't have to upsell anything because they got all your money up front.
Oh, yeah.
But even ones that are, you know, certain lines are just quieter about it. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not like, and others, you know, and of course, the cheaper you go, they got to get their money somehow. So it's just like, hey, bingo, every 10 minutes, there's an announcement, bingo, you know, buy a photo. Go to the casino. Yeah. We're giving away, you know, just there's always pushing and pushing. Buy the drink package.
Yeah.
Do this and this and this. And then after a while, it's just like, okay, man, I get it.
Yeah, just, absolutely.
And and they're not subtle about it.
And actually, to not to keep, you know, fluffing up the Virgin Voyages, but one thing you just brought up something interesting. You said the photos, right?
Yeah.
God, you go on cruise ships and you're inundated with like these like JCPenney portrait sessions, and on Virgin they have it, but they don't. They really don't. Like, in fact, now that I'm thinking about it, I was just on it, you know, Virgin not too long, a couple months ago. And man, like now that I'm thinking about it, truly thinking about it, they do have photo ops, but it's not like that. They don't have like photographers in your face all the time wanting you to buy their photos. And truly, that's actually really nice because you do feel like you're walking around like this boutique resort. Really, it's really clean. It's really aesthetically pleasing. And yeah, you don't get that nickel and diming. Really, that's what it comes down to.
What about entertainment? You don't get those cheesy dance reviews, do you?
No. In fact, they definitely have more edgy stuff. I mean, they have, for example, one of their shows. I actually forget the name specifically off the top of my head, but they basically have these shows where you're kind of part of it. You're not you don't necessarily get in on the act per se, but like for example, you're surrounding the performers, if that makes sense. Instead of sitting in like a theater seating, which they have too, but you're actually like on the floor having your drink and just sitting there enjoying, and literally almost 360, you can turn around and see the performers acting around you. It's pretty neat. So, you know, they definitely do different stuff like that. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you had mentioned before your some crazy travel stories from when you were traveling all the time.
Yeah.
What was one of the crazier ones that stand out in your mind?
I think this is crazy because this is like one of those pinch me moments of you're just like, wow, like you're living your dream that you didn't actually know was a dream. So just picture this. So I flew to direct flight. This is going to be braggy, but just bear with me. Jameson Whiskey was sponsoring me to go to Dublin for St. Paddy's Day.
Ooh, okay. You can stop there.
They flew me, get this, this is back when I lived in LA. They flew me Delta One direct.
Ooh, lay flat,
to Dublin.
Sleep.
Yep.
Oh, that's nice.
It was, I think I looked at, you know, even though it was a comp ticket, of course, it was shown on the ticket what it was. I think it was like $12,000. It was insane. And I wasn't in media. I was one of 50 media, by the way, all throughout the world. So it was worldwide media. This big, 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 big Jameson whiskey trip. So I get to Dublin. We go to Cork. We stay in a castle. So this, I'm telling you the trip, and we're not even at the crazy part. This is where I'm saying the pinch me moment. So we do all this stuff, right? Fast forward to the end of the trip. Amazing trip with Jameson Whiskey. So grateful. I'm flying back Delta One Ooh. Got Wi-Fi on board, all that stuff. I get an email from Absolute Vodka. We would like you to fly to, can you come to Sweden in 3 days? I literally land in LA. I think I was a day and a half with my wife, and they flew me. I fly back. I guess the point I'm making is this was crazy because this was how my life was for a few years. It was around the time, you know, the Rocky Mountaineer trip. I have to look back on my Instagram to look at all the travel I did because that was the most surreal experience. Something, like I said, it was a pinch me moment I didn't know existed. Because it felt like I was like sought after, and I wasn't really sought after. I just was lucky that it was in this field. It was like the new upcoming content creator sphere, you know? It's definitely not like that anymore. I'm still grateful for my life. But
yeah, I was going to ask you that. Yeah. I mean, how has that changed now?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what young bloggers are doing now. The money's kind of dried up on that.
Well, no, it's not so much that I'm not still doing really cool stuff and I love my job. And like I said, I've been doing this for 15 years. But just to tell you, so COVID really affected a lot of things and it transformed the content creation. I've never thought of myself as an influencer. If people joke and you say, you're an influencer, Joe, I'm like, well, I'm really not. Like I'm good at well-rounded content. You know, I'm good at photography. I'm good at video. I'm good at a lot of things that helps brands tell their story. I'm never making these viral videos that are like, I mean, I made a few viral videos, but honestly, kind of by accident, a lot of people can probably say the same. That being said, during COVID, that screwed up a lot of travel for everyone. But what it did after was it made the people that were staying home building up their TikTok audience. Because if you know, even if you're not on TikTok, Mike, you know what TikTok is. Basically, during COVID, everyone became these content creator extraordinaires from their phone. And even though that was still a thing previously, I was on Instagram and YouTube and stuff, people skyrocketed. So what happened was people like me, the class of so-and-so, you know, the class of pre-viral, you know what I mean? We kind of got left behind, but we still were remembered. But it just is not the same. You know, I love TikTok. I'm on it myself, but I'm not anyone that's like some of these people with like millions of followers that can literally go to a coffee shop and promote the coffee shop. And now the coffee shop is famous. I'm not that guy. So I just kept my head down, kept working, kept relationships alive. And that's the only thing that's kept me surviving. I'm definitely not in that 2015 class we were talking about previously, but I'm grateful for those times and the people I met like you, you know?
Well, now I'm going back to thinking what Absolute was thinking, like offering you a trip with 3 days notice. You know what I mean? It's like, how about a little notice?
Well, no, full transparency. Actually, do you want to, I guess I should have said this, and I'm glad you round back. So funny enough, I met someone on the trip that apparently recommended me, the Jameson trip.
Oh, on the Jameson.
And it's because, right, as you can imagine, it wasn't just media. It was actually a lot of agency folk from US, from the UK, all over that were there. And apparently they worked with Absolute as well. And they're like, this guy's great. We love his photos. They pinged that partner. And then I was like, someone dropped out. So they, like I said, I was never anyone famous, but I was reliable. So they saw that I was reliable with my content and they literally said those words to me, like, we see you're reliable. We trust you. Would you come on this trip short notice? I was like, hell yeah. You know what I mean? I was like, I've never been to Sweden and I've always wanted to go, and with Absolute, fantastic, you know? So yeah, it was a really cool experience.
Where was the Absolute distillery? Was it right in Stockholm or is it up in the Arctic Circle somewhere?
So I believe, I pronounce this correctly, it's called Aarhus. I believe that's how you pronounce it. Aarhus.
Aarhus.
Yes,
and
yes.
A with the crazy halo on top of it.
Exactly. You know it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But we were there for just kind of similar to the Dublin and then Cork. It was kind of similar to that, where we land in Stockholm, went to Aarhus, spent 3 or 4 days there, if I remember correctly, and then ended back in Stockholm for a couple of days, of course, to fly out. So it was about a week long. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that sounds nice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
How about any other good distilleries or liquor stories that you can tell? That have you ever gone to a place that it's like, the trip sounds cool, but I don't know, dig the drink. Again, you don't have to say a brand name.
Actually, no. You know what? I will use a brand name. And it's because it's, to me, it still shocked me. So I was invited to New York to go to actually host a Jägermeister event.
Oh, I hate that.
Now hold
stuff.
On. I know. See, that's why I brought this up, and I'm glad. I love your questions. Ooh. So let me explain why this changed me. So listen, owning a bar, you know, we're kind of a dive bar. You better believe I've had a couple fireball shots, pickle shots,
of course,
Jägermeister. But let me tell
you
why.
Your product, you know, you gotta, you know.
Absolutely, and you know, people love buying me shots, and those are usually them. So let me tell you the Jäger really quick. So I, you know, And I didn't just accept it because it's Jägermeister and it was New York and I love New York. No, it was like their pitch was interesting. They're like, we want you to host a night of cocktails. And if you have any friends in New York, invite them out for free. Okay, cool. So they flew me in, put me in a nice New York hotel. I was there for 4 days. Well, here's what was amazing. And you would have loved this. So they flew over German mixologists. Never heard of them in my life. I researched them later, of course. They had 8 German mixologists that specialized in Jaeger and just cocktails in general, but Jaeger. Now, here's the thing. You might think cocktails with Jaeger. They, each one of them had a special, for example, they had a Jaeger Old Fashioned. And if you've ever had an Old Fashioned, you know it's not made with Jaeger. And I love Old Fashions. I love Manhattans. Like I said, I like all cocktails. But man, they made these cocktails that anyone that poo-poos Jaeger that's willing to try something, oh my Lanta. I was like, holy, it blew my mind. And everyone included, everyone that I invited, they had the best time. And they were like, I've never looked at Jaeger different. Like I, you know, we all shot it in college or high school.
Right.
But you know what I mean? Like we've all tried it and we're always like, oh, that's a rare taste. You know, no wonder it was medicinal for the hunters or whatever the backstory is. But no, it was such an interesting thing. And I'll never forget it because it makes me realize don't ever just not say, you know, don't say no to everything, you know, try stuff out. So,
yeah, I was never a gin guy. And I remember going to some gin event or some kind of, you know, mixology. And these guys were back there and it was all gin.
Yeah.
Like I usually would have vodka, but they would like, all we have is gin. And I was like, well, that's not my thing. Usually it's like, tell me what you do like.
Yeah.
And I'd say it. And I, like you said, they would make something.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, wow, okay. If you could do this with it, then maybe you've changed my mind. Yeah. And the Jaeger people got to know this. They know what they're is.
Absolutely.
It's like, no, this we can make this palatable.
Absolutely.
The tequila people know the same thing.
It was
because, you know, Americans, we all ruin ourselves on tequila with the cheap crap in high school. And then you go to Mexico or something, you have like real, like actual good tequila that you could just sip all day and it's smooth and amazing. You're like, oh, if I was given this first, maybe I wouldn't have poo-pooed it for 20 years and been afraid of it.
Well,
we threw up on it once in high school and then you're like, ah, I hate this.
And I get that. I get that. Actually, let me go full circle with this spirit question, but also going back to river cruises, if you don't mind, and the crowd on a river cruise, you're going to love this. My first river cruise ever. Ready? Shout out Viking River Cruises for giving me a chance on my first river cruise. And we created some amazing content. So my wife and I flew over and we started in Budapest. And my wife's jet lagged, but I'm on adrenaline, like natural body, just like excited. Every time I go to Europe or any trip, I'm like excited. So even though I'm tired, I'm excited. So the first thing I did was I put my bag in the room. My wife's like, I'm going to lay down before dinner. And I'm like, I'm going to go to the bar and get a cocktail and just check out the vibe. So I go, I sit at the bar. I have my camera as I always do. So I bring my big camera with me everywhere I go. And I put it on the thing and I ask for a Manhattan. Speaking of cocktails, I said, please give me a Manhattan up. So the bartender gives me a Manhattan. A gentleman walks over, older gentleman, of course, a guest of the ship. And he goes, I'll take one of those too. I was like, yeah, good choice. I'm sitting there. I'm sipping it. I'm looking on my phone, making sure my internet's working. You know, I'm getting it all established. And he goes, wow. He's like, I've been on a few Vikings. He's like, they let you drink while you're working? This guy thought I worked. First off, he thought I worked for the ship. He thought I was a photographer on board, which I don't think Viking even has a photographer on board on river cruises, if I don't remember correctly. He literally thought that's, by the way, if you're not catching what I'm putting down here, I am so young looking. By the way, I'm about to turn 40 this year, but I was probably, God, I was probably 28 at this trip.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, the average person is probably 65 plus. And that's
you're their
generous.
Kids or grandkids' age.
They could not get over my wife and I because at that point we were like, you know, like in our late 20s and they just were dumbfounded. But anyways, everyone got along. And it was the funniest story to me because I was like, this guy thought I was an employee. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I don't know. I just thought it was funny. I'll never forget that. But yeah.
And your wife, as I recall, even looks, you know, way younger than you.
She does. Yeah.
And so they're patting her on the head. Oh, look at this. Oh, cute little kids. Oh, that's adorable.
By the way, I reminded Sarah about you because I was like, oh, I have a podcast with Mike. Do you remember we were at that? I forget what it was, but we were at that cocktail thing in LA. Where was it? But all I know is I have photos of us taking or drinking cocktails that night. I think
was that downtown LA?
Yeah. I forget what it was for. It was so long ago, but I remember that was one of the last times I saw you in person.
Yeah. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And so is she working in
you know, is her business online as well?
So I do a lot of things online, and we've always kind of done that. Yeah, she does digital strategy for brands. So like, okay. You know, we actually represented a River Cruise brand in Europe, and she does a couple local clients in the US, and she does like social media management, marketing, stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I remember, you know, you always had your big camera with you. Mm-hmm. What's the gear you're traveling with these days, and how much do you do by phone, and how much do you... with this giant camera?
I got to say, more and more, I've gone less with the camera. Listen, I'll always be a photographer at heart. I'm self-taught, but I've gotten good over the years. So when it comes to like professional photos, food photos and stuff, I'll use that. But I'll tell you this, with the power, I already showed you my wireless mics, but like with the power of these babies plugged into an iPhone, you know, my laptop, I can do so much now. Sometimes I'll do my podcast from my iPhone. I'm actually using my iPhone as my camera right now. That stuff alone is so high quality that I typically only take out that camera for just really sit down professional videos. But then also you might be familiar with Insta360 cameras, you know, the 360 cameras. God, yeah. You can do so much with those. And I've been using that for a lot of times, my vlogging, if I'm just trying to get some cool excursion content or something like that. So just, I try to go low profile. Yeah.
So when these people hire you and they were like, you know, we want you to not only shoot, you know, posts online,
yeah,
but we want like video for our site or whatever.
Yeah.
What are the parameters? Do they tell you keep it all under each video under a minute? Do you want something longer, more grand, yeah, or they want like, you know, 15 second clips? What do they want?
So it's a great question. I actually have established a shot list that I pitch them that they can pick from. And the reason I do that is it's like kind of it's almost like a pseudo contract that I don't want them to go against. So for example, if I know that they're only going to use this for vertical content, I know that I can shoot vertical the 100% of the time. But if later they come back and be like, well, we'd like this in horizontal, I'm like, well, you never said you were going to, you know what I mean? So yeah. So typically I give them this checklist and let them decide. That way it's almost like a pseudo contract where I know that I can go back on it and say, this is what you said you wanted. But typically I always over deliver. I think that's safe to say. It's a good way to keep a good relationship, not to give them everything and not get anything in return. But, you know, is it going to hurt me to shoot a couple extra B-roll clips that I can finesse with them later on? Maybe they can use or even use internally. No, I go for it. I go for it. I mean, it takes me 2 seconds. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I try to shoot high res so that I can always downplay it if needed. Yeah.
I will say this about the cruise industry, and COVID really shined a light on this.
Yeah.
That the cruisers, as they call themselves.
Yeah.
Are maybe the most loyal travelers in the market. Like, as soon as COVID shut everything down, you know, and they all stopped, and some people were stranded, and no matter what bad press they get,
yeah,
whether it's a poop cruise or whatever it is, their books are full. I mean, yeah. People will book every year. They are some of those loyal travelers out there. I was pretty amazed to see it. The people who are into it.
Yeah.
They love it. And I'll talk to people, oh, this is our 108th cruise. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a loyalty that you don't see as much anymore in terms of brands, you know, and things.
You nail that, because what I do at cruisenews.com as the executive producer, I'm always trying to find... I'm basically trying to find what's going to be evergreen and also what's hot, right? That's pretty traditional when you're creating content. It doesn't matter if it's blog content or now I'm really ramping up social media and the podcast and stuff like that. One of the things I do is I go on, you ever use Reddit at all?
Not a little bit, but not as much.
No, and maybe at your own leisure, check it out. Go to the subreddit Cruise. I think it's got over 600,000 members or 600,000 weekly users or something. Talk about loyal. I mean, go to any complaint or positive thread, right? Click on it and then read the comments, and you'd be surprised. If I worked for a cruise line and I was doing what's called, you know, the technical term social listening, I would be on Reddit all day long. Because no, seriously, I mean, you can get so much information, both complaints and positive, and you could just compile that data and then take the average and put it in use. You know what I mean? It's insane.
If you were voted king of the cruises for a day and head of the corporation, is there something, what were the first changes you would make? What would you do? Like right off the bat, I'm getting rid of this, or I'm doing that, or Is there something you can think of that's like,
oh man,
if you could wave your magic wand?
I think this, maybe this is just off the cuff. I'm not even a soda drinker, but the biggest complaint I see is, and this is where Virgin does it well, is because soda's included, is the charging of soda.
Charging for soda.
And yeah, I'm not a soda. I drink Diet Coke. I'll drink Diet Coke on occasion.
Thank God I stopped doing that.
No. But that's, and truly, and like I said, I wasn't prepared. I love that question. I guarantee I'm gonna wake up tomorrow and be like, I know what I should have said to Mike. Yeah. But I'll say this. Talking about the Reddit stuff, the amount of people that complain, and I get it, you're on vacation, you're being nickel and dime for soda every day. That drives me nuts. And that's why, like I said, yes, you pay more for Virgin, but God dang, you go to those soda machines and it's complimentary. You just go up there and fill it up at your leisure. And you just don't get that unless you have either that access or you're paying for it. And I'm like, paying for soda?
Yeah,
like a bottle of water, dang. Like,
what does Coke syrup cost? I mean, right. I know that nothing's really, I guess they can't do that. There's something, because I noticed like all the bartenders, there's no gun. Like they have to open a bottle for like a soda water and
every
open
time.
A bottle for this. So there must be a reason. Maybe CO2 is not allowed or something.
Well,
on there.
You know what it is there's so much, and I'm guessing.
It's a safety thing.
It's safety. It's probably because they're not, they would have to clean the tubes like every itinerary because they're using it so much. You know what I mean? Probably assumption, but
have you gotten sick on a cruise? I have. I was quarantined twice during COVID and I've gotten norovirus. So I have gotten that.
So I must have a really good immune system because I've never gotten COVID. I have gotten COVID, but not on a cruise ship. Funny enough, my wife did and we quarantined her and somehow I magically didn't. I don't ask. I have no idea how that happens. You know, sharing a room.
I don't want to get into your closeness of your relationship.
No, stop.
That's your business.
That's not what I meant. But you know,
we were in separate cabins. That's probably why.
The norovirus. I just had it, and it was right around the time it was spiking a few months ago, or whatever. And I got it on Virgin. My mom and I did. I took her on a work trip, and it was miserable. We actually ended up not really leaving the cabin for 4 days.
It's a bummer.
It was a bummer. Yeah.
Yeah, I do find, especially during the summer, when the families are on, and the more kids that are on the ship, the sicker I will, like, my chances of getting sick go way up.
Because,
you know, kids never wash their hands, and they're just wiping their nose on, and touching the everything.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like, I do notice that, especially in Alaska in the summer.
Ooh, I didn't even think about that, yeah.
Yeah, so, and also you get, you know, generations.
Yep.
You know, those are, you get, like, especially in Alaska, the summer cruises, you'll get grandparents and the kids and everybody in between.
It's their bucket list family trip.
Yeah, three generations. And one more before we'll get off cruises soon because I'm like, I got to live them. I don't want to talk about them all the time. So is there, when somebody asks you for a recommendation, do you look at, like I'll ask you, okay, what are you into? Do you want? You want more active? Do you have kids? Because kids are a big deal. Because I've been on some ships.
Yep.
I'm not going to say them, but there's nothing for the kids. You know, they have like a club house for them with whatever goes on in there and arts and crafts. For the young kids, it's fine. They can be anywhere.
Yep.
But for teens and stuff, some of them, they're just bored, senseless. Mm-hmm. So, and we'll pull up against some big ship with a roller coaster at the top and they're just looking at it like, oh.
Yeah.
Because people will just pick the wrong, or they got a bad advice.
Or they're trying to save some money.
Yeah.
And it bites them in the butt. Yeah. No, I 100%. I think you and I probably have a similar approach to this because of what we do. Yes, we're doing different things on a cruise ship, but we still work on a cruise ship, so to speak. Typically, I treat cruising like Vegas. So basically, I tell people, do you like entertainment? Is that a priority? Do you like food? Is quality of food entertainment? Or are you okay with having a burger every day? Because you know what? You're on vacation. You're like, that's amazing. Because to be honest with you, Carnival has some of the best burgers, but you might not have everything else about Carnival. You know what I mean? So I always tell people, I'm like, it depends on what you're into. And I've gotten pretty good at, and I've been lucky and I've done over 50 cruises, multiple cruise lines, and I can probably tell you what's going to work for you. So yeah, to answer your question, absolutely. I mean, I can read people. I give them a little bit of a short verbal survey. And then immediately I'm like, you probably should do Celebrity. You should probably do Verge. You should probably do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Call in America, whatever.
So do you even travel on your own, like much for pleasure anymore? Or is it like you just happen to be home when you're not working?
I I do travel actually quite a lot. My buddy Barry, who I'm taking on that river cruise, we do a lot of local travel. We'll go to stay at Ozarks, you know, in a cabin just to hang out and have a fire and just have a bro time, you know, stuff like that. So I definitely do that. But to be honest with you, I am so freaking lucky with what I do for a living. And I never will take it for granted that even when I do travel and it's still work focused, I can't be upset. Truly. Like I know how to settle down. I could be on a cruise or whatever, a hotel, and I can relax. I'm not always on. But when I do work, I don't feel like I'm draining myself of my happiness of where I'm experiencing it. So as long as I'm not affecting people with me, if I'm with friends, I try not to like overwhelm them with what I do. But a lot of times they don't even notice I'm doing. A lot of times I whip out my camera, take a photo of my food, B-roll it real quick, and then I know I'm going to voice over it later. You know, so I try to be not in anyone's way, if that makes sense. And I still have a good time.
We'll get back to the tech question. Are you have always been a Mac iPhone guy, or have you ever gone to the Google side or done any of that?
I've never done. So first off, I have a PC here. I am on a Mac. Mac is my primary system, but I do have a PC. But as for Android, no, I've never committed to an Android, nor do I want to. No, I don't hate on them. But I've always been a Mac guy. I used to work at Apple. I used to do corporate training and stuff like that at Apple in Beverly Hills or Century City. And so I've always been a Mac fan, like an Apple fanboy. I'm proud of it. But no, I love technology in general. I love PCs. So, yeah.
Do they send you the new phones when they come out?
Not anymore. I've gotten a few over the years. But once again, that, like I said, the whole landscape has changed with how they do tech reviews and stuff like that. And I respect that. I get it. But no, I'm happy to buy the new one every year because of the new cameras and stuff like that.
Yeah. So the new ones, I don't know what model you're on right now, but what can they shoot? What level are they up to in terms of video and cameras?
Insane. So from a really advanced standpoint, which anyone can utilize, they have like the Prolog, the Apple Log, which is like, when you shoot on it, if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to look at it, it's going to look like gray and flat. But what people don't realize is all you got to do is add a filter on top of it through any type of free editing device like DaVinci. And all of a sudden it goes from like the flat to this crisp, contrasty, beautiful, almost cinematic look. That's for advanced users. But as for photography, good Lord, the macro lens is amazing, but also the zoom is insane. Like especially on any trips I do, if I'm not close to a subject, I can just zoom in and turn on the Steadicam, and it looks like I'm right following this person on a steady, and it doesn't hiccup, and the quality is insane, like 4K.
That's one thing that you find out when you go on like a safari.
Oh yeah,
and all you have is your phone, and the animals are a mile away, and you're like, yeah, well, I can't see him, and then some guy next to you has got this giant mega lens, and like, hey, can you just send me those photos because my little phone. The zoom is like a big deal. The zoom like, you know, it's not that great on any, you know, old iPhone. New ones I haven't seen, but
yeah,
I'm sure I'll take your word for it on that.
You're on iPhone though, right? Are you Android?
Yeah, I got an old one.
You have an old iPhone. Okay.
Yeah, it's old, you know, and it's starting to show its age, you know, but this is what bugs me, because it works fine.
Yeah.
But they make it obsolete by changing the operating system. It, you know, all of a sudden the apps don't work. Yeah. You know, and then it slows down to a crawl. Right. And when it was just working fine, and it still works, but it's just like, oh, no, this doesn't work on it anymore.
Yeah.
But
no, listen.
That's my only beef with Apple, is that they change it so much to make all your, you know, my laptop, same thing, works fine. But now I can't upgrade anymore. It's not strong enough. I can't upgrade the operating system. So, oh, you can't use this Mac or this app. Oh, you can't use this site. You know, because it's like, okay, well, now you got me, you sons of bitches.
Yeah, I tell people, if you can afford it, try to upgrade every 3 years at the minimum. If you can afford it and you're willing to, because truly, usually for me, I'm a tech nerd, so I get stuff every year, truly, and it's probably stupid. But I think every 3 years is a solid, even probably 4 years would be a good time to do it. And if you can afford it, I understand not everyone's in that position.
Well, I'm a minimalist who hates clutter. So how do you deal with it with all this crap that you get sent? What do you do with your old stuff?
Oh, you give it away? My friends love me.
I bet.
I tend to do giveaways as much as possible. Not like competitions, like actual giveaways to my friends and family as much as possible. But no, I mean, like, I've been lucky too, where, you know, sometimes I'll sell it. Sometimes that's one of the ways I made money. Like I'll receive it, you know, I'll pay the taxes on it, which is usually what you have to legally do or whatever. But you get a free thing, and then I'll sell it down the road after I get use out of it. And usually, so I usually sell it at a discount where this person's getting a steal. You know what I mean? Like, I sold a pizza oven the other day that I received because I was reviewing this pizza oven, which is really cool. Thing is $700, and I sold it for $200 to a guy that was like, wanted to gift it for his wife. And I was like, that's cool. You know what I mean? I was like, that's cool. I can give this to someone at a fair price because he was willing to pay the full price. And I was like, not to me, but he was going to buy the one I'm selling. I was like, no, man, like, this is awesome. I'm glad to give it to someone that's going to get great use out of it. So
that sounds like a good COVID business.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, well, and truly, I mean, that's kind of what happened to me during COVID. I got a lot more products because people were at home hunkering down. They were like, well, can you review this product at home? I'm like, well, yeah, of course I can. You know what I mean? So right. I was like, yeah.
Well, give me one of the, you said one of the great travel stories. Give me one of your nightmare ones in terms of, I don't know, like horrible flight, horrible accommodations, horrible experience.
So I think my worst travel story, and God, I really don't want to be controversial right now with everything going on in the world, but humor me for a second, was actually, I got a trip to Israel with the tourism office. And God, I loved my contact there. She's a sweetheart. She's from New York. She's one of the agencies I love. Her name is Beth. And I've worked with her many times over, many different agencies in tourism. But the reason it was horrible was because, funny story, we land in Tel Aviv. And imagine this, imagine arriving, didn't really sleep well, long flight, right? We've been on long flights before. And me and I ended up meeting my fellow journalists, a couple of them that were on my flight from LA. And we land, and all of a sudden over the intercom, we hear all three of our names at the airport. And that was like startling. I've never had that. I felt like I was in high school being like in trouble, right? Well, then we get escorted to the security office, which is scary in itself because I'm groggy. I barely slept on the flight. So I'm just like, what is going on? And they start yelling at us because they said we're late. And I'm like, first off, I was like, I landed when the plane did. I didn't like, yeah. I wasn't just camping out in the airport. Yeah, I wasn't driving here. And anyways, so that was the start of the trip. They were yelling at us saying we're late, which as you can probably imagine, Mike, we were not late. We were on our flight. Apparently, someone gave the itinerary that we were landing the day before. Oh. So as you can imagine, I can understand them saying we're late, but we were not late. So there was that. And then from the time we arrived to the hotel, literally the 6 days we were there, our tour guide, who was a local tour guide, was basically yelling at us the entire trip. It's the nicest way I could put this. And trust me, I've got all the journalists on this trip. We're still friendly on Facebook and whatnot. We still bond over this story because we were like, we've been in this industry for a long time. We actually had a couple we had a New York Times writer. We had a Yahoo Travel when that was booming. They all were like dumbfounded by this because we were all like, you know, at the end of the night, we're having a beer together. We're like, what is going on? Like, are we being trolled? Like, this is just anyways. So that was probably my worst trip. I won't go into details because like I said, I'm not trying to be controversial, especially what's going on in the world right now. But no, it was very chaotic. And the last thing I'll leave you with is they wouldn't take us to the Dead Sea. We had a charter, and I feel like everyone that goes there wants to go to the Dead Sea, right? Yes. Am I wrong?
You sit there, you read the paper while floating, you rub mud all over yourself.
You get mud, yeah, exactly.
I did it, sure.
Yeah, and the thing was, is like I said, we really wanted to enjoy this trip, and we ended up chartering our own our shuttle to get to the Dead Sea because they were like, no, absolutely not. Even though we all had assignments to go there. Well, my assignment was joke. Me, I'm the person giving that assignment. But the other people had like the New York Times editor in chief was like, yes, you're going there. We all were like, wait a minute, I thought this was part of our story. So as you can imagine, they just weren't really playing ball, which was weird because we all had like the assigned stories that were to get us to this trip.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a very odd of all That's the tourism so weird. Trips I've ever been on. It was the one where we felt like we were most out of control and being treated like children. It was very hard to do your job, if that makes sense. So yeah, yeah, that was
overly watched and everything else.
It was very odd. Very odd. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never had longer security going through an airport. I've like,
oh yeah,
and I was traveling by myself. So All of a sudden, when you're solo traveler, you know, they'll pluck you out of line and they search, what are you doing here? Why? Who are you meeting? And just like, and I was taking a domestic flight from Tel Aviv to Eilat down in the Red Sea.
Oh wow!
And it's only like a 45-minute flight. I mean, the whole country's the size of New Jersey.
Right.
You know, so it wasn't that far.
Right.
But they kept asking me questions. These are, you know, they have to serve in the military. So there are like 18, 19-year-old kids.
Oh, right.
Going through my bags and ask me what I do. And I made the mistake of telling them I was a comedian. And they go, oh, do you have like a website? Yes. And I could hear them in the office watching my reels.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And my, my neurotic showbiz, just clicked in and went, hey, that's an old reel. I mean, that's old stuff. I'm going to update that. Don't worry. But, it's like, I'm still paranoid about my, it's like, oh God. Yeah, that was a rough one. But, did you ever consider making the travel the full-time thing? Or do you always want to is that too limiting for what you do, you think?
It's tough. I did. In fact, not to throw her under the bus, but when I first really started ramping up travel, I was hoping to have a partner in crime, meaning not someone to hold my camera, but someone that would intuitively be like, this is a good clip. I should be recording this. And what maybe stopped that idea, that not dream of traveling full time, but the idea of it was that if I didn't have a cameraman with me, and I'm not saying like documentary style, like have someone always filming, I don't want that, but I just needed like a partner. Like, there's other people out there in the space that's like colleagues of ours, I would say, whether it's a cruise one or a travel one or a comedian or whatever, they have a partner that's like willing to pick up the camera and start shooting at a moment's notice on both ends. And I feel like having a partner to piggyback off of, almost like to outdo, not so much like, oh, I'm better than this person, but like have someone that's like, wow, that was really smart. They did that. I forgot. Let's film. That's how I look at content. And I found that when I didn't have that, it was more difficult to do the solo stuff to keep up with, to make money. Cause I know what it takes to make money in this industry. And to be honest with you, that's why I wear a lot of hats. Literally, like I have so many different jobs to just keep me self-employed, essentially. So no, I would love to maybe rethink that in a few years. But that's why I did the bar, and it keeps me grounded. But also, I still get to travel and enjoy that at my leisure. So yeah.
Also, the flying and everything else can wear on you. It can burn you out. And you are married too. You do have to be home sometimes.
True.
And I never wanted to get in a position where, knock on wood, that I travel as much as I want to, not as because I have to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's where you want to be.
Yeah.
You don't want to, because I've run into this with a lot of writers, travel writers and bloggers that I've, and they'll get fried. They'll get burned out after, they're in their 12th airport in a week.
Oh, yeah.
And there's another delay. And, what the hell am I doing? I don't even care about where I'm going anymore. I'm just doing it because I have to. And I didn't want it to suck the joy out of travel, which was my favorite thing to do.
Yeah. Does
that make sense?
Absolutely.
Which I'm sure has held me back in terms of monetizing these things. But I never wanted it to feel like a job.
No.
You know?
And that's that. You just nailed it on the head right there. That is kind of like my indirect tagline, I would say, is like, I've never felt like I worked. That's why I said earlier, like when I'm on a friend's trip, I'm still working. I never try to influence how they enjoy their trip. But I try to piggyback off of being with people and doing my job. And yeah, I love it. And it's never felt like a job. Truly,
right.
When I'm creating content, it's not, I don't feel like I'm drained. Oh, I need a break. I need a vacation from my vacation. You know what I mean?
How about the craziest thing you ever drank? Like, I've had some crazy local hooch in every corner of the, whether it's Asia or Central America.
Okay.
Have somebody like put this in front of your face and you've tried it and you're like, oh my God, that's death.
And I feel horrible. I love the question because I have an answer, but I forget the name of it. So just bear with me. So there's a thing that they do. Oh God, is it in Canada? Okay. It's a toe. And actually cadaver.
A human toe?
Yes. It's a human toe in a glass, like a rocks glass of whiskey.
No.
Okay, hold on. Maybe you could. Okay, if you're listening, look this up. Basically, there's a name for it. I can't remember off the top of my head. I did it a while ago. But you take the drink back, you shoot it, and the whole point is the toe is supposed to kiss your lips. So you're supposed to like touch it. I know. And you're telling me the craziest thing I ever did. This is it.
Where was this?
This was at a Fairmont media event, because Fairmont is traditionally a Canadian. I think they're actually a Canadian brand, Fairmont Hotels. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. But they were having a Canadian. By the way, it was at the same agency that represented us on Rocky Mountain.
Okay.
At least the agency that represented me going on that trip. And they work with Fairmont. And yeah, God, what's it called? It's like, I think it was like an old miners thing they did. And it was like, it's like good luck or it's, I wish I had it, but you asked for my craziest. That's the best one I can give you. But if you look it up, you'll find it. But yeah, and it was so crazy because I have video of it. And if I could find it, I'll send it to you on Facebook. But yeah, you take it back and it's supposed to touch your lips and it's a real toe. It's a real toe. Now, of course,
it's like pickled or whatever it is.
And listen, the whiskey, even if it touched on your lips longer than it probably you wanted it to, you're going to be fine. The whiskey's going to burn it off.
Jeez.
Trust me. I know. It's weird. What about you?
I have not heard that one, boy.
Can you beat me on that one?
Yeah, I've had stuff with like, you know, a snake floating in it. I've had that.
And, oh, okay.
Where was that? Oh, God. Was that Asia? Must have been. Things like that. Just like guaro down in Costa Rica or whatever, you know, that somebody made in their backyard and that kind of stuff. I mean, it's brutal. Are you adventurous foodie? You say you like food. I mean, have you eaten some crazy stuff or weird animal or?
You know, I've done the Rocky Mountain oysters.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I've done that at a festival. I'm trying to think, you know, I've eaten alligator and snake sausages. I'm trying to think outside of that. I think I had some pretty interesting things I've never had before on my recent Turkey trip. In Istanbul, we went on a food tour and we ate quite a bit of like stomach lining and stuff like that. And it wasn't gross. And it's really normal in most countries doing this stuff, but it was very interesting. And honestly, all tasted amazing. But that was probably the most interesting. I've never been a big bug eater. So I haven't been to Asia, but I would try it to a certain extent, but I'm not going to be eating like, you know, fried scorpion or I'll eat a cricket maybe, but I've never been a bug eater. You know, I can't really do that fear factor stuff. And I'm not trying to be insulted because I know that's in the culture. That's normal for them. For me, it's like fear factor. I can't really do that stuff personally.
Well, you do tend to learn that you can deep fry anything and you wouldn't know, you know what I mean? You deep fry it enough. What is this? A cricket or a bug? I don't know. Who knows? It's deep fried, you know, whatever.
And I've heard it tastes good, especially if it's seasoned right. And if you're not looking at it, it's probably fine. But and Mike, I didn't want to sound like a complete tool and not know the information. I did look it up while we were chatting really quick. I want to tell you that the toe and the whiskey, ready? It's called the Sour Toe Cocktail. It's a famous 50-year-old Dawson City, Yukon tradition where where it's served with a genuine mummified human toe. So I was right. I was right. Wow. I just didn't have the name. It's called the Sour Toe Cocktail. And you can look it up. Cocktail. The history of it is all over the web. So,
oh my gosh.
I just wanted to make sure that your listeners could look that up later.
I've never heard that. I've been to the Yukon. I've never heard of that.
You know who I did it with? Our friend Gina.
Gina, I was going to say, because they booked the Rocky Mountaineer. I called her yesterday and she owes me, she's bad on texting. I will tell you that.
I miss her.
If you're listening, Gina. You know you are.
I miss her. I would love all of us together. That'd been so cool on another
Come
trip.
Here, because we're neighbors. We live literally like a mile from each other.
I didn't know. Okay. Yeah. Next trip to see my brother. He lives in Oxnard still, so I'll definitely visit.
Yeah. So speaking of next trips, where haven't you been? You said you haven't been to Asia? That amazes me.
Well, I haven't. No, I haven't been to like places like, let's see. I really want to go to Singapore, Thailand, Bangkok. There's a lot of places I haven't been. I've been to South Korea. I've been to Seoul and stuff like that. But there's a lot of places I haven't been. You know, a lot of people, this is the downfall of my job, truly, is that, you know, you said earlier, do you still enjoy travel, solo travel, whatever? But the truth is, a lot of my travel is dictated to me, right? I mean, sure, I could pitch tourism. I could pitch a story. I could do that. But honestly, I don't have a lot of time for that. So a lot of times I take what comes into me. And a lot of that has been through tourism offices. And a lot of times it's not in Asia. Specifically, it's usually like in local to my Midwest area or I get occasional one from Turkey tourism, you know, which is awesome. I love, you know, it's so cool. But see, a lot of that stuff is I'm missing out on, right? Because I'm not seeking it out, which might change in the next few years. Maybe start doing that. Yeah.
And the good thing about cruises is they are worldwide. And I'm doing one in Asia in October. I'm going from Shanghai to Taipei.
Awesome.
And
okay.
Making a couple stops in Okinawa.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm looking forward to.
Oh, I would love
places
that.
I haven't. I've been to Taipei a couple times, but I haven't been to mainland China yet, and I haven't been to Okinawa. You haven't been to Japan?
No, no.
Joe,
I know. This is
You are built for it, buddy. You would love it.
I would love Japan. I know. Trust me. And the food. I would go just for the food, not even the sights. And
the food and the tech. Dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Just put it on your list. Put it on the list. Is there a place you would never go back? Like one you're like, you know, I'm good.
After this. You know, my quick answer would have been Israel because of
my bad story.
I mean, now I'm not going there for all those places for a while, sadly, just because what's going on. But let's not get it negative. I would say I'd give anything twice a try. I truly I really would. No, because sometimes things get dictated because of, you know, maybe it was our tour guide. Maybe it was, you know, there could have been reasons. It could have been it was a full moon. You know what I mean? I don't want to ever judge, you know, I'll try anything twice, and it doesn't have to be just a food item. It could be a travel experience. You know what I mean? So
are you into history? Are you a history guy? Do you want to take those tours and learn about the history? Or are you more like, you know, because some people freely admit they don't like museums. You know what I mean?
I love history. I do. But I will say I do burn out quick. And I'll tell you why. Because from my standpoint as a creator, like when I do travel with my wife, for example, she's a very intelligent person and she loves history. My issue is I've got a million things going through my head about I need to capture. And a lot of times when I slow down to sit in a museum and look at, read everything, and a lot of times I'm like, okay, this was really cool, but I have a million other things in my mind I can get to capture. You know what I mean?
All right.
So that is a downfall of my brain and how I function. But no, I like history, and I'm glad I got to see some things I've seen with my travels. But traditionally, I like to get my culture is through food and the people directly. Yeah.
That's true. Well, now I'll do the generic morning show question. Where do you see all this travel blogging and things going in and social media, and how is it changing in terms of AI? Are you using AI?
Yeah.
How is it affecting your business, your brand, and all that other stuff? Where do you see it headed in, say, let's go 5 years?
So I do think that it's dramatically changing daily. For a positive and negative, but it's only positive if you're utilizing it to help you. So do I use AI? 100%. Actually, it has sped up my workflow dramatically. I use pretty much every AI, specifically Claude, and I'll tell you what I'm able to do with it in a short time with what I programmed it to do is insane. How it's going to affect people like me who's a blogger, it's going to affect greatly. I don't think it's necessarily going to kill us off, but I will say, there's going to be a lot of people that don't keep up, and they're going to die. They're going to die off organically. Just like we've seen over the years, people just like the mommy bloggers, not to insult them, they're not really a thing anymore. They've had to transition to like TikTok and because it's just not bringing in the traffic. Right. But I think in 5 years, we're going to see a drastic change. That is actually why I'm pivoting harder into the podcast and video. Yes, that can be AI too, but I do think that, like, this conversation is not AI. It would be very difficult to make this AI. I'm not saying it's not possible, but it's very difficult for that to be not authentic. And I think that what's going to need to change is how AI is regulated, in the sense of we're already seeing it where people are posting videos that I can tell is AI, but my mom's being tricked. And that's scary. And they're supposed to legally, I think they're supposed to market as AI, and they don't. And I'm starting to see people get tricked by it. And I'm like, well, if that's not regulated in 5 years, we're all doomed. But as a half glass full person, I'm hoping that the people learn to use it to their advantage to help inspire content. And I think that bloggers, if they're not already changing over with their planning of how they're planning their content, that they're going to be left behind. Truly, well, people like me. Yeah.
Well, how do you use it in terms of, like, I mean, helping you write or book things or like book travel or plan?
I'll blow your mind. Here, check this out. So let's say I just wrote a blog post for Cruise News or Joe's Daily. I created something in Claude. It's called a skill. And I programmed it to take my link that I provided. I feed it a link. It could be my link. It could be yours. It could be this podcast. And I say, give me short form video ideas for this. And because of my skill, I trained it to how I like to create. It literally comes out with three concepts that it thought on its own, said, this is going to be the best option. It's going to choose the best option. It creates a script that I've trained it off of genuinely how I would create a script. And then I have it give me title ideas, description ideas, and then I have it do further research. It does this all just by taking that one link. That's something that I would have had to do, sit down and sit, think about and really train, but I've trained it ahead of time to do that. So that's how I've done it. And the truth is, what's really neat about that is it gives me ideas that I didn't even think about. And truly, a lot of those are my most successful videos recently on Cruise News, for example. Like I put out a video because we're such a new channel, like a budding channel. And I was like, give me an idea of how cruise people will like this. And it literally just, and I was like blown away because like two of the ideas I had in my head already, but the other five were like, I was like, this is great. This is fantastic. And then I told it, because it, you can make it the AI smarter. I says, take those last three ideas. I love those and train it for future to think like that. And now it's like a brain constantly thinking. So that's why I always tell people, I'm like, don't, I'm not saying just make AI your life, but I'm like, treat it like an assistant that knows everything. You know what I mean? And then train it to be exactly what you want it to be. I have one for the bar too. It literally thinks like how we want the bar to think. And then it helps me come up with ideas for the bar. So, you know, it's not just for travel and content. It's for my daily life. Yeah.
Do you see in travel videos, can you like, are you good at seeing one and going, oh, that's not, that's totally fake?
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially if it's like only slides and like only slides and it's like a voice that sounds real, but it's like very like, this is the most mediocre thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Cause what they're doing is they're feeding it through and out. And listen, I've tested it. I did it for an experiment. I was like, let me try one of those videos and see what it did. And it didn't do great. I bet you for every 10 you do, one will do well. But I don't think that's good content. And the truth is we're gonna start training our brains to see that stuff. And that's why I think that people using AI the right way to actually as a tool rather than just like a workhorse of everything. Because when you're just having to create slides with fake audio over it, sooner or later, we're all going to be like, that is fake, skip, block right. Account. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, I think that's what's going to happen. So,
wow, what a weird time.
Very weird.
But you know what's going to change with the times? Joe's Daily.
Yeah.
So now get in your plugs. Tell people where they can find you, sure. Websites and everything else.
Thank you. So yeah, primarily what Mike's known me for years is Joe's Daily, joesdaily.com, men's lifestyle and travel, all over social media that way. But my latest passion project is truly as executive producer at cruisenews.com. We just started a podcast called The Main Deck. We only have one episode out currently as when you're watching this. And it's covering with me and my buddy Harrison Liu, my co-founder. We're just kind of talking cruise stuff. And other than that, yeah, cruisenews.com and Joe's Daily is where I'm at. And then if you're in Alton, Illinois, Bubby and Sissy's is the bar I own.
Yeah, that's right. I got to see this place now.
Yeah, so, you should come out.
Yeah, and if you ever need a guest for Cruise News, you know where to look.
Oh, heck yeah. You're on my list for sure.
Yeah, if I'm in town, I'm doing it. Awesome. And by in town, I mean home. Not your town, but you know, I would do it there too. But right. I don't get to Alton too much these days.
All good. We'll make it work.
Scary thing is I probably played Alton in the 90s at a one-nighter there.
Oh, probably, I did
Edwardsville.
Yeah.
I think I did SIU Edwardsville, and I know I did Paducah, Kentucky.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, those are the days. Oh, boy. Okay. Anyway, Joe, I appreciate you doing this. Hang on the line. I'll talk to you afterwards. But awesome. I appreciate you doing this, and I will stay tuned, and hopefully I'll see you in a cruise one day.
Awesome. I would love that. That'd be great.
Joe Maragliata, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Travel doesn't always go to plan, and that's where the best stories live. Welcome to the Winging It Travel Podcast, where you don't just hear about travel, you feel it. I'm James Hammond, and I'm podcasting my own journeys from the road, sharing immersive soundscape episodes that drop you right into the moment, from busy streets to remote mountains. Along the way, I sit down with local people and fellow travelers to tell honest stories about life, culture, and chase an adventure beyond the routine. No filters, no fake perfection, just stories to tell, tips to share, and experiences to inspire. Search Winging It Travel Podcast on any podcast app, and let's wing it.
Quick question. Do you want travel tips from people who have actually been there?
Our show is co-hosted by Tim Johnson, an award-winning travel journalist who's been to more than 145 countries around the world. And I'm David Brody, the other co-host who's been travel podcasting for 20 years while traveling to 50-plus countries around the world.
In about 10 or 20 minutes per show, we break down a destination with the kind of insight you usually only get from long guidebooks or hours of research.
So if you want expert advice, zero fluff, and travel inspiration that you can actually use, search for Travel in 10 wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can also find us at voyescape.com.
The New York Times named the Frommer's Travel Podcast one of the 13 best for travel. Why did they like it? Well, they said, and I quote, "With charisma and candor, Pauline Frommer discusses the charms and ongoing transformations of places near and far, whether on the islands of Hawaii or on safari in Tanzania." Pretty nice, huh? We post new podcasts weekly, talking about travel from every angle. I hope you'll tune in.
Hey guys, Aaron Miller here from Armchair Explorer, and I just wanted to let you know that our new series is out now. We've got kite skiing across Antarctica, Aboriginal storytellers, and the craziest whitewater race in the world. We're going on a bucket list hike across Italy. We're going to the fjords of Norway in search of the Northern Lights and lots, lots more. Our goal is to take you on the trip of a lifetime every single week. You can find Armchair Explorer on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening right now, and at VoiceScape.com.